Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's live today from the Titans Locker Room Team Store, Nissan Stadium, right beside Gate 1. Stop by, gear up for Titans and Texans this Sunday at Nissan Stadium. Paul, who do you have with you?
Paige and Kyle from Canada. We're told he's a fan. No, look, I got up and he's taking a seat like he's joining
Canada
the show.
Kyle
just
is here.
To come over and say
Kyle, make yourself right at home. Take his chair.
Why are you being so shy?
First time in Asheville. Yeah, I don't travel much.
Welcome to America. How are things in Canada?
They're all right. They're good.
Where in Canada are you from?
Toronto.
God's country. What's going on in Toronto? Are there a lot of Americans coming to Toronto?
Not much. Yeah, no.
Do you want us there or no?
Not really. Okay. I'm just kidding. Yeah, yeah.
We want you here. Do you drink Molson, Labatt's, what?
I asked for Rickard's Red, but you guys don't have Rickard's Red.
What is Rickard's Red? Is that
it's
a big Canadian beer?
Beer like a Guinness.
Okay.
You know Guinness is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Canadian Guinness. Who knew?
Everyone knows Canadian Guinness.
How are you, Titans fan, Kyle?
Music City Miracle. First game I ever watched. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Since then, I've been a Titans fan.
That's awesome.
Last question. How's your health care?
Good.
Kyle, you Argonauts fan?
No. I can't stand the CFL.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
How about hockey?
Honest
hockey
man.
Guy?
Used to be. It's all NFL.
What happened to hockey?
I played it for too long, got sick of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kyle from Canada.
Kyle, welcome, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to Nashville.
The guy's holding on to a, let me see that jersey. Yep. Kevin Byard, he's considering a dark blue.
Canada
Kevin
Kyle
Byard.
In town for the game.
I recommend the dark blue. You can see the number on it.
Midday 180 is huge in Toronto, is what we heard.
Canada.
So Kyle's a big part of it.
Really, all the bordering countries.
Dave McGinnis is huge on Midday 180, and he is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, we're going to talk Titans, but I want to let you know, because we failed to let our listeners know yesterday. Yesterday was the anniversary of Lene Kukua's death.
Yeah, this is a huge fail by us that we did not pay tribute to her.
How could you guys not even make that known?
It's in my calendar. I tweeted it after
it's
the show.
It's a big oversight.
Wait a minute. Did you just hear what Paul said? It's in my calendar.
And it's in my calendar. 2012, she died. It's in my calendar.
September 12, 2012.
Like
well, now we know.
Well,
very sad.
We're going to honor her today by playing some of Rhett Bryan's best hits every hour, one hit per hour, in honor of Lene Kukua, the fake girlfriend of Mentai Teo.
Some of these songs might be new to you. I don't know how attuned you were last year.
That's outstanding.
Later on, so you'll have to listen.
We will also have Truth According to Kirby. So it's going to be a massive day on the Midday 180 today.
I mean, how lucky am I?
Help us with this. Week two.
First of all, let me say this.
Okay, go ahead.
Kirby brought me a stool out here to sit on. It looked like it came off the set of Captain Kangaroo. I mean, I don't even know.
It's very wobbly.
I don't even know where this came from. So I put my battery pack on here.
It might not even hold that.
And it may not hold this.
In a show of unity, Coach, I'm going to stand up with you the entire time you're
show
on here with us.
Show of unity.
Just so we
here
have
we go.
Someone else standing.
I think that we should have Mary Frances sit on the stool to see if anything happens.
Mary Frances is so comfortable over there, and she's
always has a look of comfort. That's kind of her
thing. Yeah.
I'd like she's to see her.
She's a calming influence on the show.
She's a calming influence on the show, and so far it's not working. Okay, so go ahead.
I think you should sit on the stool and see how long before it breaks. We'll set a timer. We'll bet place over under bet.
Mary Frances, sit on this stool, and you might own this pro shop before it's over.
We'll put a pillow beneath.
Dave McGinnis with us. He will join us now every Thursday at 10:15 with some practice schedules and different things going on Friday. Thursdays works best for both of us, and we're glad to have him weekly here on the Midday 180. The importance of not starting 0-2.
It's huge.
Okay. So coaches talk about it. They know about it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you don't want to start ever 0-1 anything. I mean, that's, and I heard Paul in the first segment, talk about must win, and he's 100% right. He approached
like usual.
Like usual. Thanks. Every game, you've got to, you go into it, you need to win every football game. Now, clearly, as the season of advances, some take on huge importance because then you've got playoff implications. But early in the season, I mean, you need to get a win because the only way that you can assure yourself that you're going to have a chance for the postseason in the National Football League is at this 16 game stretch. You got to stack wins. You got to stack wins because you start, stop, usually doesn't get you there. So that being said, you've only got 16 weeks to do that in.
I think, you're in such better shape if you win this game. Colts are 0-1. Jags are 1-0.
And they're playing New England.
Yeah. This is the second, you're going to be tied for first or in second solidly. And it's a division win. It hurts.
Yeah, not all of those are exactly. He's on point. I mean, it's exactly right. So
you watch a ton of film every week on the opponent. From Houston's offensive perspective,
okay,
we're going to see two back offense. We will see spread. What else will we see from them? And how do you go about devising a game plan for every option they'll give you?
No, I mean you're right on, Jonathan. First of all, the two back offense. Has got a lot of motion, a lot of movement, a lot of deception in the backfield off of it, a lot of misdirection. The spread, clearly we know what that is. I mean, they're going to spread him out, and they're going to, let the quarterback sit back there, Deshaun Watson, and make his reads real quick. And the third offense you're going to face, anytime you face Deshaun Watson, is the unscheduled play. And the off-schedule play is an offense that you have to work on. Because and when I say that, I mean this. You've got a quarterback that can do what he can do with his legs and also throwing the ball when he's running. You have to work on practicing, plastering the receivers down the field when the play breaks down, off schedule. You've got to work on your containment of the rush. You've got to have a rush on him, but you cannot have an uncontrolled rush. You have an uncontrolled rush on him, then you're opening up the field from the numbers to the numbers where he can put pressure on your DBs, your linebackers, who's ever in coverage, whether you're in man or zone. Whether you're in man or zone, anytime the play breaks down, then it turns into man because you have to plaster. When I say plaster, you have to pick up the person in your area and stay with them until the quarterback is down.
How much of what he does in the unscheduled plays is him tucking and running with the football?
No, he's not a tuck and run guy. I mean, he's looking downfield to throw. I mean, this guy knows how to work on the move. And that's if a guy is a tuck and run guy, then you want him to abort the play and get out. I mean, that's the first thing that you'd look at. When I was coordinating defenses and putting together defensive game plans, if you have a guy that's just going to tuck it and run, you want him to do that. That's what you want him to do. But if he's a guy that's still looking downfield when he's on the move and has an idea, and plus they have an idea because, the best team in the league at aborted plays and the quarterback and the wide receivers being in sync is Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. They have a plan every time, and they know where each other's going to be. It's a part of the offense, and you've got to work on it.
Maybe this is a poor comparison. Does he remind you at all of Russell Wilson? When I think of guys running around and continuing to look downfield, is he that type of QB?
100%. Okay. That's exactly who he is. And, I spent a lot of years, there in the NFC West defending Russell Wilson. And the first thing you've got to be able to do, you have to have a rush plan against Russell Wilson. And you also have to have a spy plan against Russell Wilson, because he is that type of player. Now, once you can hem him in and take away half of the field from him when he's moving, then you have a chance, but you have to have a plan for it.
There are certain guys in the league that they're so explosive, they're so good at making plays, that the goal is to try to limit the big plays they make against you, knowing they're going to make some plays over the course of the game. DeAndre Hopkins is one of those guys for the Texans. How would you go about trying to defend him or limit him?
Well, DeAndre Hopkins, first thing, DeAndre Hopkins might be one of the best combat catchers in the National Football League. You can be all over him. I mean, he's got extremely strong hands. He's a great body position guy. And then his catch radius, for a guy his size is amazing. And his spatial awareness and his ability to track a ball. And the other thing that DeAndre Hopkins does so well that a lot of receivers can't do, he's a last second catcher. In other words, he gets those hands up at the last second. He's got great, great confidence in the strength of his hands. So you ask me what you do. First of all, you've got to find out early on how they are deploying him, what they're going to do. If they've got Fuller back, Fuller is the guy that can absolutely explode the top of a defense. He's somebody that you've got to worry about, you know, getting past. Now, they're going to use Hopkins. They're going to use Hopkins underneath, inside. And if you single up on Hopkins, you better know where your leverage and your help is. Because if he has a two-way go on you, you've got issues.
Coach, Marcus Mariota, before he hit the hand and threw the two bad interceptions, before he hit the elbow, just thrown behind guys, didn't lead Stocker the way he could have. Said he wished he had to throw to Corey Davis back on the fourth down pass. When you see a guy consistently fail to give his targets yards after the catch opportunities, what does that tell you?
Well, first of all, I mean, it tells me he's not real certain, you know, about you know, the release point, when it's supposed to be released. But now, let me go to the Stocker play just a minute. I can kind of live with the Stocker play for this. I mean, you got a guy running down the field. He's probably not a guy that's going to track the ball very long. You just want to get that to him. He was so wide open. They fooled him so bad on that boot throwback. He was wide open. That one doesn't bother me. You just need to, ensure that completion, okay? In my opinion.
I hate that. The third tight end on an NFL team can't track the ball.
No.
Can't be counted on to track the ball.
I'm talking about speed down the field. You know, it's not a speed guy. You know, that's not a run and chase guy. You get it to him, you know, and you get the ball down there, get it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they had four
chances.
Get it in.
Now, the other ones, this offense, Paul, is predicated on timing and location. Timing and location. And being able, off of this play action and what you get, whether it's play action that breaks the cylinder, whether it's play action that keeps him in the cylinder, the timing throws, you've got to throw these guys open, and then they've got to be able to run and catch. I mean, that's a huge, huge part of it. If any of you watched the Rams and the Raiders, you know, play on Monday night, you saw what this looks like. You saw, you know, where Goff's placement was. And again, I'll go back to this. Goff wasn't doing that early on when this offense started. I watched every one of them. But he progressively got better and better, and you get to work in practice on it. Everything. I mean, it's a platform offense. I mean, everything builds off of the other. But to your point, we didn't do that. That didn't happen. And so that needs to continue to happen regardless. Now, Delaney's gone, okay? But regardless of who's in there, and Matt LaFleur has got to work ways to get people still, there's still open areas and there's still open spots in this offense. But the location and the timing of the throws, regardless of who the receivers are, that doesn't change. That has to be better.
Delaney always talked about being doubled and even tripled. But as I've done some reporting about how the Titans will be covered post-Delaney, a lot of scouts and analysts and coaches have told me guys are not doubled nearly as often as fans tend to believe.
Correct.
Julio Jones, Rob Gronkowski even, it's more situational than it is every snap.
That's 100% correct.
Illustrate that for me. Give me some context on how infrequent double teams are.
Well, here's the thing, and you said it just right. It's down in distance, and it's situational. You know, anytime we ever wanted to put a double on somebody, we wanted to be sure, and again, not sure, but you had a pretty high percentage that during that situation, down in distance, field position, that's who they're going to, okay? You know, on a first and 10, you very rarely double anybody, you know, because it's a conflict down for you, and so you're going to be playing, you know, either in an eight-man front, you play a seven-man front with somebody that's going to fill in. You very seldom double anybody on first down, okay? Second and long, where you've got a pretty good chance, that's when you're going to double. Clearly, third down. Third downs are mostly where you see your doubles. Third down are where your doubles because third downs are the chain movers, okay? Third downs are the chain movers. Third downs are the possession flippers. That's where you see most of your doubling come in, Paul.
And some of this doubling maybe is hazy where a guy has help. Some people might look at it and call it a double team. Some people might look at it and not call it a double team.
Okay, well, let's say this. If you're playing man under two deep, okay, then everybody essentially is doubled because you're asking guys to play underneath, inside, and they've got help over the top, no matter what happens. All right. If you're playing a middle of the field, if you're playing a middle of the field cover one, you've got one extra guy to double. Your free safety is back there. He can lean one way or the other, but then your two linebackers that are in coverage, if they're on the back, okay, well then whoever takes the back, the other guy's what we call a low hole cutter. He can double on routes. He can double on people. Now, when you get to these particular positions, as you're talking about, then you may say, I don't care what happens. Take the cut to Delaney Walker, okay? Oh, now, if you've got a true double, then you can double them about, you know, different ways. You can double them over and under. In other words, you get up and press him and then tell the guy that's pressing him, force him outside. Then you've got help outside. You can do what we call bump slice, where you get up on him, you bump him, then you work outside, and your double comes from the inside. You can also double him from the opposite side of the field, you know, which we used to call a money double. In other words, you bring somebody down from the opposite side of the field from high to low to be able to double. But again, you've got to have outside leverage, force him inside, force him to that double. There's a lot of different ways you can double people, and you double it predicated on down and distance, what they have shown, formations, and personnel group.
Dave McGinnis with us, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Before we get to your keys from your film study, looking back on the Miami game, that 98-yard drive that started at the end of the first quarter, went into the second quarter, were they able to get the run game going? What did you notice about that in particular for Miami's run game, why the Titans struggled to stop it, and what adjustments were made throughout those delays to where it got better as the game progressed?
Well, it was inside. They ran some traps. They ran a couple of traps. They ran a couple of whams, and then one. They were in a seven-man front, and the fill in the backside B-gap came down late. The one that just took off straight running up the fill on the backside B-gap came down late from top down, okay? But they were really attacking the inside. They really didn't have much success hitting the edges. You know, I thought the edges were set very well, but it was inside, and they were doing it motioning the tight end. They ran some traps. They ran what we call whams, where you wham the guy that's playing over the center. You know, you bluff block him, take off. He looks for the bluff block. You hit him in the backside. Okay. That's what was going on. They fixed that. Now, anytime somebody is working the inside of you with pulls, with traps, what has to happen is that has to be, first of all, how the down lineman plays the initial block. And then you have to know which way he is spilling it. Is he going to contain it? Is he going to box it? Is he going to knock it inside of the linebacker? Because that tells the second level player the type of leverage he needs to fill in. Or is he going to splatter it? If he's going to go underneath the block, then the backer has to jump the wham or jump the trap and get over on the outside of it. All of that stuff has to fit. They weren't fitting correctly early on. They fixed that. But that was a problem.
So the Titans go for it on the fourth and goal from the two. They don't convert. The Dolphins have 98 yards to go. We just talked about that drive. That drive, though, started with back-to-back offside penalties on the Titans. How frustrating is that? I know there were two early offside penalties. As a defensive coordinator, when you have them backed up especially and you see something like that.
Well, not only as a coordinator, as the whole team, because, Chad, look, let me tell you this. That was probably part of their thinking, too, going for it on fourth down there. All right?
You got them all the way down.
I'm losing my voice a little bit. I think we were on the air for 8 hours. Hey, anyway, you know, you go for it. You expect to make it. And again, that's another location throw, Paul. You know, that type of throw, that's out in front, you know, to where, you know, Davis can catch it and stretch it, bounce the pylon. Okay, anyway, to your question, that bothers you, you know, because you took, and I like it. I like the call to go for it there. But then 98 yards, you figure you're still going to get field position, three and out, maybe let them have five plays, but you're going to get the ball somewhere around midfield if you play defense the way you should. But unforced errors are the worst thing that can happen to you. And that's, look, it's hard enough to win a National Football League game playing your opponent. You don't need to play against yourself.
Give us a few keys that you're watching for on Sunday.
Both these offensive lines are in flux right now. Both these offensive lines. So whichever defensive line, and again, let's go to Houston's defensive line. You didn't see much out of those guys, Merciless. You didn't see much, you know, out of Clowney. You didn't see much out of J.J. Watt in the first half. Second half, they started playing a little better. Those guys were a little bit rusty, okay? They lost Chantrell Henderson, all right? Their offensive line is in flux also. So whichever defensive line can start to impose their will on the other earliest, I think, is a huge, huge key in this. The next thing that I think is very, very important, which offense can get a multiple run game going? In other words, they cannot get, don't let them get zeroed and targeted in saying, okay, all we have to do is stop this outside zone. All we have to do is stop this, and then we've got them stopped. Multiple run game is going to be important because with those defensive lines, okay, and with your offensive lines in flux, you've got to find ways to displace your defensive linemen. And then, look, neither quarterback for either team had a good outing last week. Neither quarterback did. You got two athletic quarterbacks, but the quarterbacks, both of them, have to step up their production. Whichever one is able to do that more consistently and earlier, you've got to step up in this game.
Dave McGinnis is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans.